Canada's Queer Media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we are thrilled to have our special guest today, Jess. Now, you are the one of the only other humans I have seen this entire year. During the entire pandemic, you're one of only a handful of humans in my little bubble, which means I am thrilled that you could join us for the big gay quiz of the year.
Yeah. I'm happy to be back for it. Very excited.
Usually we would have three against three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would be the fifth in the... Can you imagine a scenario where there are seven people in the room? That's a legs up party. That's what that is. Now, for our regular listeners, you may be familiar that around the New Year's, we like to host what we call the Big Gay Quiz of the Year, where I ask the questions and two teams compete to try and find the answers. Now, this year, things are a little different. There are teams of just one human per team. On one team, we have Jess. Now, this year, you will be competing against each other. The questions are derived from topics that we may have covered on the show over the last 12 months. This kind of works out because, of course, Seb was in each of the shows over the last 12 months. But was he paying attention? Now, Jess, you are a Sebastian's mum. You are a fan of the show.
You're That's not, like you, the nicest thing you could have said to me.
You're not literally Sebastian's mum, but we call our super fans.
Yes.
A Sebastian's mum.
Mm-hmm.
So you may also recall about as much as he did.
Yep,
it's not impossible.
It is quite likely. Well, let's give you some starter questions before we dive into the quiz proper. This came up from a social media post. I think it was a Reddit question. Eating what is considered feminine?
Salad?
Not in front of my salad, that's for sure. We got a salad from a Sebastian.
Oh. I'm going to go with tacos because I honestly have no idea.
No, the answer was dessert. There was a Redditor who claimed that, it may have actually been a Twitter thread, where she claimed that she dumped somebody because he ordered and ate dessert.
Huh. How do you feel about that, Sebastian? Lover feminine. Of desserts?
I'm pretty sure we also had an episode where we talked about the feminization of salads.
Well,
we did, and the fact that eating dessert, or just eating foods, is not effeminate.
Well, there's also the idea that, like, for some reason we've gendered our food in the West, and we've gendered it wrongly. So red meat is considered masculine, and, like, fish and white meat is considered feminine, but, like, men need the zinc and copper from fish, and women need the iron from red meat.
Next question. What caused a shortage of condoms in the start of this year?
I remember this.
I'm, like, at a great disadvantage.
Okay. We'll start with
Jess. My super fandom is going to be, questionable at the end of this. Caused a shortage at the beginning of 2020?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, sort like, before February, COVID, March. During the fires? Okay.
No, not quite before COVID. I will toss you a clue. It is COVID-related.
It's COVID-related.
I did listen to this episode.
There's actually two
It's,
answers.
With the face masks, and you have to wear masks and condoms to procreate. Well, not procreate.
True, but it's not the answer to this question. It is not what caused the shortage of condoms, particularly in Asia.
All right.
Sebastian, where did they run out?
A shortage of surgical gloves and rubber dishwashing gloves.
Oh.
So people started wearing condoms on their hands and fingers to turn doorknobs and press elevator buttons.
Yes, there was a short shortage of short condoms at the start of the year as there was a rush to poke elevator buttons.
What a time to be alive.
You know there's finger condoms.
What was the official health guidance issued by both the BC Department of Health and the Department of Health for the state of New York, and then multiple others for intimacy during the pandemic?
Was it the thing I just said about the
not
mask?
Not quite. So it was the official health guidance for intimacy with strangers.
I remember seeing this because on Reddit, people in Australia are like, what are they doing in Canada? I remember this.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning that YouPorn offered up to $100,000 to assist the Canadian government in making this possible. We'll go to Sebastian. What was the official health guidance issued by the BC CDC and the state of New York
use glory holes.
They recommended
okay,
the use of partitions and walls. And then very helpfully, I believe it was UPorn, offered up to $100,000 to the Canadian government to install glory holes. As far as we're aware, the Canadian government did not take them up on the offer.
I can't believe I forgot
about glory holes. What contest is coming to the United States in 2021.
Oh.
Contest?
Well, it can't be Eurovision.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Which is apparently the obvious answer in this group.
Well, the correct answer is actually Eurovision is launching the American Song Contest in the US in 2021. Now, of course, 2020 saw the first cancellation of Eurovision in its, I believe, entire history.
56 years, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, did they actually not go through with the...
They didn't go through with it. And then they actually changed the rules so that that would never happen again ahead of 2021. So there was no Eurovision this year. But next year, we also get the Americans. What gayborhood changed its name in 2020?
Oh, I did listen to this episode.
Do you remember the city it's in?
Oh.
Because I think I know the city and the name.
Oh. I want to point out that when I knew I was going up against Sebastian El Solo, I knew I was doomed whatever the topic was. Can't compete with that brain.
If I know it, I know it. If I don't, then I'm just going to make jokes.
What was it? Davenport or something like that? No.
We've got a Davenport is not the right answer. Yeah. Sebastian,
it was,
what gayborhood changed its name in 2020?
It was Boys Town.
Oh, yes, that's the one?
In Chicago.
And they renamed it to just like the name that it is on the map. You're right. It's something like Davenport or something. It's some old-fashioned neighborhood name, and they've just updated it to that.
Yeah, it's the name of the constituency, essentially.
Yeah.
The University of California, San Francisco, the UCSF, found that anti-LGBT bias led to much higher rates of what amongst LGBT people?
I'm guessing, because this is something we do often, we'll cover a study and the answer is obvious. And then I have to remind the audience yet again that just because it has an obvious answer doesn't mean it's not worth studying. So I'm going to say depression.
We've got a depression from Sebastian. The correct answer was migraines. Apparently, gay people have way more migraines, according to the study by the UCSF. One of the reasons given was the amount of bias that they are exposed to. You recently told me that apparently the stereotypes of gay people, like walking quickly, often overlap with just mental health and trauma.
So that doesn't help. There's a stereotype that gay men especially, but also bisexual women, and then all the other LGBT as well, but those two groups more so than the rest, walk 10 to 50% faster than everyone else, but then so do people with depression. And there's also a stereotype that gay people can't sit in a chair properly. Not being able to sit in a chair properly is a common symptom of ADHD, which is also a side effect of trauma. So, I mean, like, so, I mean, a lot of the stereotypes are actually, like, bad signifiers of mental health issues, so.
Well, same-sex couples have children that do what?
This is a bit awkwardly.
Well, I will almost get that. Sebastian,
they do better in school.
That is absolutely the correct answer.
Wow, we both did it.
They have a,
yay!
According to a University of Oxford study, they found that children of same-sex parents then tend to do better academically than the average adjusted for socioeconomic
status. I feel like you guys have talked about that, but it's because like they want kids so bad.
Yeah, you can't accidentally have a child.
Yeah.
Me and Jake have been trying, and it's yet to work out.
Well,
so
one day maybe.
Now let's jump to our first song. I wanted to pick a couple of tracks that we've played throughout the year from the Earshot Music Distribution Service. If you are a queer musician and want to get distributed on Canadian radio, go to earshot-distro.ca. Let folks know that Luke sent you. All right, let's go with Vic Horvath's Pistol and Rye, and we shall be back with the great big gay quiz of the year just after this.
I don't care. You feed the chickens while I pass the time.
And welcome, I'm keeping that oh no in the track.
Oh, no.
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
I don't know why I slapped my knee there, and we are thrilled to be joined by...
Still Jess,
as opposed to bubbly Jess. Right, let's jump to the next question. We have... In the big gay quiz of the year, regular listeners may know that every New Year's, we do a recap quiz of how it's going. What new monument is going up in the city of Ottawa?
There's several.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, is this one you guys talk about?
Yeah.
Is that specifically? Oh.
I can't remember what the official name is. I'm going to give a wrong answer.
Okay.
I'm going to deliberately give a wrong answer. And you will have
an
opportunity.
This is the wrong question to do that.
You're coming for the steal?
Yes.
Thanks,
Knight on Shining Armor. Kind
of thing. Monument to the victims of communism, which made a lot
of
people say.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, that's already there. They've already built it.
So many people were like, what are you talking about? Who's a victim of communism? And it's like, almost all
of
the
world.
Refugees from the Vietnam War came specifically to Ottawa. Like,
yeah, it's significant. That's not what I was looking for, because this is a new monument.
I don't remember the title. It's to do with the people who were fired from the government because the government was butts for about 30 years.
It's pretty laid out. Jess, do you want to hazard a guess? It's also the name of a film franchise where you get to kill people without legal repercussions.
Star Wars? We have a Star Wars monument?
Hitman?
No. Okay, it is the Purge Monument.
Oh.
Which is not a testimony to the movie, but rather it is a monument to commemorate the long-standing policy that the Canadian government had of ousting and removing people from the Canadian civil service and military who were suspected of being homosexuals. Sort of McCarthy era in Canada.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What gay gym in Edmonton almost closed from doxing? Now, this story is from January.
There's a gay gym.
When gyms were allowed to be open.
Ah, gym like gymnasium.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess, I don't remember... But every gay gym I've ever seen is called the Steamworks. Was it called the Steamworks?
Now, Steamworks is actually the name of a chain of gay bathhouses.
I don't know the name of the gym, but I'm going to guess Pumped.
No, also the name of a bathhouse. No, the correct answer is Queer Flex.
Queer Flex.
It was a gay-only space which rubbed people up the weird wrong way. A youth campaign in what part of Canada led to the area banning conversion therapy?
West.
No, I won't accept the entire West.
The way you framed it, what part of Canada? A youth part of
BC.
Canada?
BC.
A youth campaign.
The answer to the question that you asked.
A youth campaign in what part of Canada led to conversion therapy being banned in this province and or territory?
No, I think it was one of the Maritime provinces. Because I remember it was like... We were
New Brunswick.
I was specifically looking for the Yukon, where it was actually youth advocates that raised the issue, pioneered the issue, pushed it, and convinced the MLAs in the Yukon to ban conversion therapy.
I'm starting to see how much you pay attention.
I remember, because now that you say that, I remember we made a joke that all 30 of them got together, and it wasn't a joke about the Yukon not having many gay people. It was about the Yukon not having many people.
Next question. Hundreds of prides across Canada and the rest of North America were cancelled. But what pride went ahead unofficially?
Oh.
I'll give a clue.
It was something, yeah.
Was it Emo?
You're absolutely right. It was the town of Emo had a Borderlands Pride in the area, did an unofficial Pride parade where a convoy of vehicles, which was actually longer than the town of Emo, vehicled through the town of Emo. I would possibly have entertained PEI, where having through the Atlantic bubble, managed to survive the brunt of the COVID pandemic, was able to have one of the only socially distanced pride parades in the country.
Mm.
Next question. What Catholic design caused drama in Waterloo? What Catholic design caused drama in Waterloo?
The flag. They wanted a new flag.
This is a point for Jess.
Yes.
Mark the calendar.
Finally
it
got
was
one.
A... hideous flag That still turns my stomach and led to significant backlash.
You guys had a lot of strong thoughts on
it. From the way you're phrasing it, I thought you were we did a story about Catholic schools in miniskirts, and I was thinking it was that.
No.
There was a campaign.
But that
across
wasn't in
Quebec.
Waterloo. Yeah, yeah.
Waterloo specifically.
The miniskirt campaign almost made the list of questions, but that wasn't it.
Spoilers, so, not happening now.
The Catholic school board in Waterloo introduced their own version of a pride flag. What conservative MP said that the bill to ban conversion therapy would both legalize child abuse and then ban praying? MP,
yeah,
member of Parliament.
We literally just talked about this. I'm going to go ahead and say it was...
He was from British Columbia, if I remember.
Nope, he was from a riding just outside of Ottawa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Yep, it was actually MP Derek Sloan I was looking for.
There it is.
Who said that the bill to ban conversion therapy, which did pass the federal government, which was introduced, he alluded that it would legalize child abuse, which it does not. And he said that it would ban praying, which also it does not.
Mm-hmm.
So he was wrong on both the parts. Derek Sloan also raised money from the fact that he opposed a ban that would effectively outlaw what has been considered to be torture. And he was hoping to raise dollars in order to tackle that.
On a side note, my favorite movie about conversion therapy is But I'm a Cheerleader.
They just came out the 20th anniversary special edition.
I highly recommend everybody watch that. It's like one of my favorites.
It's also a very big, like, before they were famous movie.
A lot of the
teens from that movie went on to have very good careers.
Yep. Very campy, very adorable lesbian.
Strictly speaking, it's not a good movie.
No, it's awful, but it's the right kind of awful.
It's the right kind of awful.
And it says a lot about conversion therapy.
Yes, it does, yes.
So,
Boy
those race. Two points.
And RuPaul playing a straight man. Who knew? Not even a closet straight man. It's in the plot. He is a straight man. It was just the irony of getting RuPaul, but anyway.
Moving on to the next question. A scandal emerged where the Canadian Museum of Human Rights made what optional?
The answer's not pithy.
It's hard to describe it in a very brief way. Letting like tour groups and stuff avoid all the LGBT sections.
Yeah. It's gay exhibits.
Yeah.
LGBT exhibits.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
that's
absolutely
the answer you're looking for.
Yep. So this
another
is
one.
You got another one.
You gave it to me.
Yeah, that was a bit of a but yes, the scandal has emerged and the Canadian Museum of Human Rights has been reconciling with a past policy from around 2016 to 2018. Where somebody had okayed making LGBT exhibits optional and or hidden for Hutterite groups that were looking to tour the facility.
Nothing screams human rights like cutting out things.
Well, here's the real issue. It wasn't strictly speaking a policy. It was an unspoken policy. Because if it was a policy,
it was
policy,
an unwritten policy.
Yeah, because weren't you guys saying there were people that were working there who were like really uncomfortable?
Yeah,
with
it? If it were written down, it would be way easier to deal with than... What happened?
Unspoken rules.
The Hutterites also wanted to avoid all the exhibits about abortion. This has actually perplexed the Museum of Human Rights on accounts of them not actually having any exhibits on abortion. Our next question. Mayor Bob Currie of Amaranth, Ontario, good old Amaranth, Ontario, claimed that gays would cause what?
Locusts.
Mm.
I am tempted to take that. What would you have? Do you have a better answer?
What was the thing that came after the locusts? The frogs?
Frogs or rivers of blood. Rivers of blood.
Death of the firstborn.
You know, I think you're both going to get the point here. Mayor Bob Currie of Amaranth claimed that gays would cause the end of the world.
Right.
He also opposed gay pride. Right. So locusts and frogs definitely refer to the end of the world, so you both get a point. Congratulations.
I think we both get a half point.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Pride crosswalks across Canada were defaced and painted, and then defaced and painted in a constant to and fro with government, local gay communities, and bigots.
Mm.
Now, what raised eyebrows when a crosswalk in Vancouver was defaced in front of what building? So a crosswalk in Vancouver was defaced in front of what building?
It was the closed circuit television's the police.
I will accept that.
And it was the car like spun its tires, and I was like, I don't know if this was malicious against the crosswalk or if the guy was just an idiot in a muscle car. And I was like, I don't know what this is. Like, it's, I was skeptical about it, but it was definitely a weird story. Like, there was no,
in the middle of June, an East Vancouver rainbow crosswalk that was located in front of a police station was defaced by a, idiot.
Yes.
By an idiot.
a bigot?
Yeah.
Yes, and then was promptly arrested.
You should probably not be burning rubber in front of a police station either way.
If you're going to deface public property, try to avoid in front of police stations.
I mean, that's just, Ottawa, we have a big police force, so there's a lot of cars in the front, but like a smaller place, I could see them.
But even with a generous interpretation. Not literally being outside.
I mean, there was a big sign. Police.
Sometimes when you're in your vehicle, you have no idea what the hell is happening around you. That's why pedestrians get run over all the time. So even given a generous interpretation that this guy had no idea that there was a rainbow crosswalk, he should have noticed the police station. And why are you burning rubber in the middle of the day anyway? Like
I've accidentally burnt rubber by hitting the gas a little fast in the hot weather. When you're excited, the light turns green and you like hit the button. By button, I mean pedal. But that's accidental, and I feel like really awkward and awful after I do that. So,
well,
like, nobody likes a squealing tire, ever. What are you proving?
I think this is a good chance for us to jump to our next song. This is Irish Maithin. I have played the living bejesus out of Irish Maithin over the past year. And this is Little Bones, but Irish Maithin is a great song. And Little Bones is quite a great track. Well, Irish Maithin with Little Bones.
Sleight of hand in the blink of an eye, you showed me the cross whereupon he died. And what would he do? Say if he only knew his love was being used in this way. And where do they lie? Little bones lie. So where do they lie? an eye. You showed us the cross, whereupon you lied.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And I'm Jess.
Thank you, Jess and Sebastian, for joining us for the Great Big Quiz of the Year. Now, the Canadian government changed the definition of parent for what purpose?
Social services.
Was it to allow single parents? Is it something to do with... I mean, obviously, it's the Big Gay Quiz. It's got something to do with us.
With gay people?
They changed... I mean, they did parent and parents instead of mother and father quite some time ago. Mm-hmm. Was it just like guardian? Or I don't remember. This is actually... Yeah.
It's a tricky
I'm actually,
question.
Yeah, don't remember.
I do remember we covered how in Japan... They introduced gay adoption because they're sick and tired of adults adopting each other, because it's the only way to get full rights as a married couple, was to adopt your spouse even though they're the same age as you, presumably.
Okay, don't know what any of that means. Just going to glaze over that.
So the answer I was looking for is citizenship. There was a story where in the Netherlands, two Canadians... had a child in the Netherlands, but they were both Canadian, obviously, except none of them biologically birthed the child. Although the child was, in all sense of the law, the child of these two people.
Okay.
And these mothers weren't able, when they went to the Canadian embassy, to get citizenship for the child, because the Canadian government required a biological link to said child. So a straight person who birthed a child anywhere would automatically have a Canadian citizen child.
So it was just comma or adoption, or
what they did is they changed the definition of parent to include non-biological same-sex parents. So now if you have a legal child in the Netherlands or really anywhere, that is your child, and they are Canadian citizens.
This is one of those stories where I'm like, why didn't they do this before? You don't need gay people for this. You could just be like two people who adopt a kid for other reasons. Yeah. And you're a straight couple, you adopt a kid, and then they're like, oh, this kid's not your kid. And then you're like living overseas because you're like your military couple or something. Mm-hmm. While you're stationed in a base in Bavaria, because we have Canadian military bases in Bavaria. I don't know why, but we do. And then while you're
the
there, you adopt a kid. Obviously, and then you can't bring it back. Like, you know, this is another place where the gays are making life better for the straights.
The gays are making life better for the straights. Yeah. I like it. The BC Liberals were banned from Vancouver Pride, even though it was just online.
Yeah.
They were banned from Vancouver Pride for what reason?
Oh, I remember they refused to denounce something, but I don't remember what they refused to denounce.
You're on the right track.
There was somebody who did a bad and not a good, and they were like, eh, we're indifferent. And then everyone was like, but that was a bad. And they're like, eh, we're indifferent. And then people like, unwelcome. And I don't remember what the thing was. So...
I missed this episode.
Over to you. I'm going to give you the point. The reason why the BC Liberals were banned from Vancouver Pride is because Vancouver Pride let the BC Liberals know that their current review of their advertising policy was insufficient, as the member of the Legislative Assembly, Laurie Thrones, continued to buy advertising promoting her constituency in a Christian paper that continues to endorse conversion therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's...
All right, here's a question. I'm going to hand it to you first, Jess.
Oh, no.
Who won the Canadian Drag Race competition?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
How have you not watched it?
Because it wasn't on the Netflix, but I can do it now. I have.
Because the correct answer is
I'm actually going to put my. I'm going to put this in my ears. Go ahead, because I'm going to watch it.
I don't remember.
You don't remember.
I don't remember the name. I know who won. It was,
you don't know what the name was?
It was the Toronto drag queen that everybody was like, her? And then they wanted the What's-Her-Face from Montreal to win. I don't remember. But yeah, everybody wanted What's-Her-Face from Montreal. And then What's-Her-Face from Toronto won. And everyone was like, her? Like, she's not a bad drag queen. It was just she wasn't the best. But I don't remember her name.
What's her name? Is Priyanka.
Yes, Priyanka.
It's funny because her catchphrase was getting people to say over and over again, what's her name? To which she would reply, Priyanka. And of course you forgot and you didn't know. So this is a really good question for the quiz.
So We're good. Okay, great.
Spoilers over. I still can't believe
it. The one from Montreal is hilarious. No,
I love it. She is funny. Okay, don't.
The
I'm
best
watch
moment.
It.
There's one moment, though, where you know at the beginning of the episode, they always do the talking heads?
Yeah.
So she often would do her talking head interview in French, and they would subtitle her, and they asked her, how are you doing today? And she says, all of a sudden, I feel very subtitled. Canada's Drag Race is a 2020 story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And in fact, in 2020, the U.S. Drag Race also featured Sherry Pie. Can you tell me what happened to Sherry Pie?
Oh, got accused of like sexual assault or something, and they edited her out as many episodes.
She was catfishing.
Catfishing.
She was catfishing theater folks in New York. Was caught for it not long after the show started.
That's one of the early ones, isn't it?
So the World of Wonder production team effectively just edited her out.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because she was a fan favorite prior to the whole catfishing.
And she made it to the finals as well, so they had a lot of editing.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
What surprising thing took place in the Rideau Canal this August? What surprising thing took place in the Rideau Canal this August? Now, the Rideau Canal is a World Heritage Site.
They found a regular fish in it.
They found a regular fish. Now, there was a fake story that there was dolphins have returned to the Rideau Canal.
Oh, yeah, because it's like all Italy, like, oh, look at all the wildlife came back because people...
Yeah.
Was it?
There are no dolphins in the Rideau Canal.
The swans are there, though. That's pretty cool.
Was it the Navy had a pride parade on boats or something?
That's absolutely it. HMCS Carlton had an impromptu boat parade. The naval detachment and the I think it's the Coast Service, they had an impromptu boat flotilla on the canal.
And it was from like Dow's Lake all the way down to Ottawa River or something. Yeah. It was like all, they had to pause as they were like in the locks just sitting there.
And just lowered gradually.
Slowly lowering like one inch
at a time.
As locks
do. Yeah. That's the whole point of a lock. But anyway, for you folks that don't live near locks because you don't live in Ottawa... It's a long process.
Locks are all over the country.
Yeah, but it's a long process.
You know when you get to a pride parade and then the big long floats have to turn the corner and everybody on the float has to look like they're still interested?
But they've been waiting for it to turn for like 20 minutes.
It's like inching around the corner and everyone's like, woo!
They're still waving their hands. Yeah.
That, I'm imagining that with the locks where they're like in the lock. No one can see them because they're below the level.
You say that, but nobody knew they were doing it. So there was no one even there. So really,
they would fire the publicist.
They were just waving at dog walkers and
random people walking on the
Everyone who decided they had to exercise outdoors because everyone's run out of Peloton bikes.
Sometimes I like to just walk by the river.
All right, next question. This is a major event from 2020. We talked about it a lot.
Cool.
According to a scathing report on the police response to a protest at Hamilton Pride.
Oh God, we're talking about
Hamilton.
When did the Hamilton Police Service prepare their operational plan for responding to potential protests at Hamilton Pride?
It was like 2 days before or something. It was
when?
Like,
it was like a day or two before.
The iron details the morning of, but like the general planning was like 3 days before. Mm-hmm.
You're actually spot on. It was not only was it 2 days before.
You guys literally said those words.
But it was actually two different people on both days, because on day one the guy was on vacation for the weekend, so left.
Yeah.
So on day two, different person has to pick up the plan. Now this was a cacophony of errors. It started off in, I think, January, where the one woman who is part of her portfolio is communicating with Pride leaves. And Hamilton Pride, Hamilton Police Service, at no point realizes that somebody should probably do the work that this woman was doing.
Yeah. So they, I do remember that in the story they were saying that there was documentation that this needed to be done. And the normal chain of command, like...
It would have been done.
It comes down to someone. It's someone's ultimate responsibility.
But she moved on in January.
And then they forgot to reassign... Well, they didn't forget, but they neglected to reassign someone. So there was nobody in the post to double check. So there's a whole bunch of people where, like, it's kind of their job to double check every so often, but there's that one person
that does, that's their job.
Yeah.
Now, early in the summer, the OIPRD, the Office of the Independent Police Directorate, which is a police self-investigation
tool. That alone could have been a quiz question.
I know. Who is the OIPRD?
That's not fair. He works for the police.
I also work for
the police. Not anymore.
Well, you did.
No, I work for a shipping logistics firm now.
I know now, but you did work the same literal job.
Yeah, we're asking about questions about cardiology next.
So I'm into that. Give me hospital questions. I'm
actually, in. If you really want to stump somebody, ask them what the spleen does.
It actually releases enzymes and hormones. Yeah. And I saw a video recently.
It's like a thyroid gland, but like less effective.
Anyway, yeah, there's your spleen. Anyway, the question is, the whole point was that this person left in January. OIPRD released a report that said that Hamilton Police did absolutely nothing wrong whatsoever. They followed every procedure, 100% to the key.
But it still wasn't a happy story.
An independent lawyer working out of Toronto discovered that there were actually a bajillion things that Hamilton Police did wrong, including issuing statements to the police blaming the gays.
Yeah.
When it was right-wing activists and evangelical crazy people who were responsible for considerable amount of violence.
I think it was you that was saying that it was one of the like best-written things you've read in a while.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, the report is entertaining. You need a copy of that on your coffee table.
The guy was actually kind of sympathetic. Yeah. He's like, it's 90% negligence and neglect. Like, we really can't say that it's a homophobic institution. It's just a really neglectful one, and it's the police. Do you really... Would you rather them be neglectful or homophobic?
The salt on the wound. The salt on the wound for the police in the Hamilton Police in this situation is that the first thing they did was round up the gay anarchists. And they were like, it's their fault. And they were like, where have you been?
Yeah.
Were you even in the room?
Yeah.
Like, they went and dispatched to the wrong end of the park. The day before, the Hamilton Police Service is essentially phoning Pride to find out where it is. Mm. Whereas at the exact same time, all of the radio stations are telling you where it is.
Yeah.
The only one who didn't know Pride was happening were the Hamilton Police Service.
The ultimate passive-aggressive move from 2005 would have been to reply with a "let me Google that for you" link. That still exists, by the way.
I do that to Alex all the time. I'm like, he's like, what about this? I'm like, well, let me Google that for you.
No, but you can actually send somebody, it looks like a Google link, but when you click it, it opens Google and then it shows typing the question that you gave it. And then it gives it the answer.
Yeah, see, I'm not that good with computers, so just have to use my SAS.
That is enough of Hamilton Pride. Just as a quick update, the Hamilton Police Service brought a gay man onto the board who has since then avoided answering any questions because he's now on the board. They also sanctioned a representative from the gay community for tweeting out privileged information. The Hamilton Police Service and the LGBT community in Hamilton are, let's just say, they're working things out.
Yeah, it was weird. He didn't tweet privileged information. He tweeted where to find publicly available information that he knew about because he was privileged. And it was sort of one of those things where it was like, technically he did nothing wrong, technically he did a bad and
that
not
sounds
a good.
Delightful.
And it was just so vague.
I like people that kind of like hit that middle road. They're like trying to help you out, but like, oh, I can't because like, you know, I gotta like
reasons.
Yeah, reasons.
So,
but also here's the thing that might be helpful.
Here is the next question: why did GLBT people vandalize a billboard in Vancouver? Why did gay people vandalize a billboard in Vancouver?
Are we back to conversion therapy world?
Did they mix pastels with jewel tones?
Oh.
And people were just not having it.
They were incensed. That was it. They were just outraged at the pastel jewel tone combo.
And they were just like, the 80s are over!
No, that wasn't it.
That wasn't it.
Oh. Does it have anything to do with conversion therapy?
No, nothing to do with fish.
Is that your default answer?
Well, currently.
It's either Hamilton or conversion therapy.
You know, for 2020, that's a good summary. There was only 4 letters and or symbols on the billboard. Well, clearly you're not getting it.
Nope.
The billboard said, I heart JK, as in JK Rowling.
Oh.
And it was a very badly, thinly veiled anti-trans billboard. Because famously, in early 2020, JK Rowling has come out quite aggressively against trans folks, including threatening legal action against trans educators and others who have called her transphobic. This individual bought and put up a I Heart JK Rowling billboard completely unsolicited. There was no JK Rowling campaign. She hadn't made a new book. It was just out of the blue, I Heart JK Rowling. But it was right in the middle of the backlash to her anti-trans position. The billboard was vandalized and then almost immediately removed by the billboard company. And the same individual, I believe, was shortly after arrested for protesting an anti-mask, protesting at an anti-mask event where he tried to assault somebody. Yep. So all around, stand-up fellow. But yes, it was I Heart JK Rowling was the billboard in Vancouver that gay people defaced. What happened to gay guys with an eye for donations?
Did they get tax receipts?
I don't think so.
Everyone's favorite. They donate to Pride?
No.
This is I was in the room and I don't remember this. I think you're deliberately phrasing this in a way that's misleading as
yes,
well.
Yes,
that's absolutely right. It is a trick question. The story that emerged in the early fall is that gay corneas, the literal eyes of gay people, were being wholesale disposed by organ donation banks across North America. Canadian donor banks that were accepting gay eyes were then immediately disposing of them instead of putting them into recipients who were looking for eye transplants.
Okay, excuse me, what?
Corneas.
True story.
These. No, that sounds... Because you're gay, your eyes don't work? Of course.
Really, it all relates back to the fact that the federal government has not moved on ending the gay blood ban. And you can't really rinse out an eye. So they just dispose of all corneal donations, not just in Canada, but across the
US. Okay, so what you're telling me is that, like, if I was a gay man and I was like, I'm a gay man, I'm going to donate my blood there. Cool. Give us your blood. And then they, like, literally take that and just dump it in
pour it down the drain, yeah.
But I was actually thinking
But I'm actually bothered by all of that.
It is bothersome.
Gay men do have bad eyes because we're always sitting at glory holes going, where is he?
Well, it is recommended health practice.
I can see how straining your eyes treat
It's the low lighting and the squinting and the trying.
But that's only
trying. It would like.
It's only because gay people are following the medical advice of the BC CDC and using glory holes. Who threatened the executive director of the Anti-Hate Network?
What would be ironic? Some kind of Donald TV
Trump.
Creature.
It was, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him, but it wasn't specifically Donald Trump.
Anti-hate network.
But someone in his, like, bubble?
No, no.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking too big.
Sebastian? The correct answer was Christopher Vanderfield, who had previously pled guilty to smashing someone in the face with a helmet.
Yes.
At the 2019 Hamilton Pride.
Alex showed me the footage of that, and it's awful.
Christopher Van der Wilde had pled guilty to smashing someone in the face with a helmet, and was then rearrested near the end of 2020 for having threatened the life of the executive director and the president of the Anti-Hate Network on accounts of them opposing hate. Yeah. He rather disliked that idea.
Hate.
Next question, sticking with the anti-hate. Hate preacher Dorlove was arrested for what in September or October?
I'm going to give it right to you because you already, I can tell by your intake that you know the answer.
Was this the guy in Vancouver who set up like in the village and was basically like, and then like some random straight dude was like, no, no, and just like clotheslined him, like did some kind of like WWE like suplex.
The story is almost right. Dorlove and his compadre in hate preaching.
Yeah.
They're Toronto based. And they went to Vancouver to Davie Village, the gay village in Vancouver.
Yes, okay, yeah.
And it was a straight sports broadcaster who tried to turn down the volume on their non-permitted sound assistance for their hate preaching. Now, we have talked a lot this year about hate preachers and others using sound devices without a permit.
Yeah, do you have a permit? That's turned into a bit of a running gag.
But it was true.
Should I have asked that before I sat
down? Did they have a permit? But no, they actually broke the man's leg. And the preacher, Dorlove, was arrested for physical assault.
Wow.
As a result of that case.
Okay.
Now, it is... It
so
took a
if
while
I ever
to
come him. On the show, like, I can guarantee you'll never break my legs, right?
Well, this has been, you know, it's interesting because 2020, we witnessed at the start of the year the same usual things. You know, we had the reports from Hamilton. We had various sort of the usual humdrum of LGBT work. It is unfortunate that in 2020, some world leaders have taken this opportunity clamp down on LGBT rights across the world. We talked a couple of weeks ago about an anti-gay MP who shimmied down a drain pipe from a legs-up gay sex party.
I just want to point out that there's like bigger things going on in the world. Pandemic. We're living through a pandemic. I'm just like baffled that like they still want to focus on bringing people down when we're literally in a pandemic. And
whilst everyone's attention is focused over here, they will tighten the screws over here. The listeners won't see I'm making hand motions in two different areas here to indicate.
Also, I've also been making hand motions for most of this adventure.
This is true. We don't... This is audio. Now, that being said, 2020 has been interesting. We've seen pride parades all over the country.
Yes.
Really refocus and double down on community. We saw drag queens delivering food from fast food restaurants.
Yes.
We had pop-up drag shows in the street. People just engage in community in imaginative, safely distanced ways.
And there's an insane number this year. We really broke a record. It was something like one third to a half of all Pride events in the world happened in Canada this year. That more communities in...
In 2019, it was 1 in 10 of all Pride events happened in Canada. And I think 2020 saw the continued expansion of that.
Which I gotta say is pretty impressive, because you think about how many countries are in the world, which if you look it up, several hundred. Canada has done a really good job with this.
All of this is to say that 2020 has been a rough year. And we have covered a lot of good news.
Yeah.
The changing definition of parent. Mm-hmm. The rollout both in territories, provinces, and federally of the conversion therapy ban.
Yes.
We also saw across the world major progress in LGBT rights. Australia have completely banned the gay panic and banned conversion therapy. The
and UK, banned guns. Australia's done really good.
That's New Zealand, but close enough.
Oh, close.
I don't think we'll see pride parades really in 2021. I think the innovations of 2020 will carry forward. But we will let you all know in next year's Big Gay Quiz of the Year how it went. The winner this year, unsurprisingly, was Sebastian.
Yay.
Because he
I
was
thought it was Zach.
He was in the room where it happened. And we want to thank you so much, Jess, for joining in.
Oh,
and,
I'm really happy to be here.
And being the patsy to our show.
Mm-hmm.
This was great. I have been Luke Smith.
What's on with every week? It's becoming a thing that every week we forget to say what we're playing
out. We're playing out with Moscow Apartments song, Moscow Apartment. I adore these two. I'm big fans of them. I've been Luke Smith.
I've been Sebastian.
I've been Patsy.
And thanks for listening.
It's precious time.